of chaos and confusion, there are but two geeks who can clear everything up. Anna and Dave, Geek World, Thursdays at noon on 92.5 KYHY Burbank.
We're back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. I am the mistress of the dork anime here with my dorkness, Dave. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio.
If only you knew the power of the dork side.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, there we go.
That's right.
Can I be the dork side?
Yeah, you can be dork side.
Dork side. No, I still don't like it. Yeah, it just doesn't quite do it for me. Doesn't quite represent how awesome I am, does it?
Is there really anything that can?
No, nothing. Not even the awesome homeless man beard.
Don't
I
you
have
get it?
Right
it's
now.
Ironic.
Oh, I get it. Okay, I hear what you're doing here. I like it. I like it a lot.
See, I'm mistress of the dork, and you're ironic.
Ah, yes, irony man. Yes. That would just be a bummer kind of superpower, wouldn't it?
That would suck.
Yes, it would really suck. I would not like that. You'd be like an Alanis Morissette song. It's like, whatever. What?
Why do you want your superpower to be irony?
I don't know. It does not seem like a very powerful. In a skirmish, I don't think the power of irony would help all that much, would it?
Maybe Scott Pilgrim style battle.
Could be, yes, exactly. I don't know. Anyway, so can I be seven now?
Can I first... Okay.
I want to be seven!
You can.
I want a Butterfinger and a Mountain Dew.
Okay, wait. I am going to tell the plot of Expendables.
Okay, here we go.
Boom, boom, boom. Explosion. Bang, bang. Old action stars. Bang, bang. Explosion.
We kid each other, but we're still buddies and brothers at the end of the day. Boom, explosion. Yeah.
Is there a storyline? Explosion!
Yeah, not very much. Well, and luckily, you know, as I said, much to the theme of most 80s action films, The Expendables was definitely, it was par for the course. I mean, it's almost like they unearthed a movie that was made in the 80s, and they just put it up on screen.
Like, it was made in 1985.
Yeah, except, you know, there's people from right now in it. Yeah,
it was filled with the...
Boy, howdy.
Way too much bad plastic surgery club.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's almost... I don't even know if we should get into that. Yeah, there was a lot of plastic surgery going on there.
That was all I need to say. And it's not like it's not completely obvious and kind of terrifying.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think, you know, this movie, guys my age especially, guys who grew up in the 80s, I mean, this movie we were all waiting for a while. I mean, this is sort of like the Justice League coming together, you know? You got Sylvester Stallone, Lundgren,
we've all been waiting for this, you know, since we were seven.
Cameos from Arnold and Bruce Willis, and you got, you know, and even new guys, you know, you got like, you know, who else
Randy
is in
Couture
this movie?
And Randy... Steve Austin? Those are the newest.
Well,
like
Jason
like,
Statham,
oh, okay,
Jet Li.
I gotcha. You know, I, oh,
guys
yeah, right.
Who were in
okay,
the 80s, basically.
Okay.
You know?
Gotcha.
Yeah, though I think Jet Li was in the tail end of the late 80s in Hong Kong, but, you know. But anyway, Mickey Rourke, of course. And, yeah, I mean, this movie, you know, we've been waiting for it for a while. Sly is the mastermind behind this. He directed the movie. He helped write the movie. And I think that the best way to describe this movie is...
write the movie.
Yeah, that's funny. There was writing going on. There was dialogue in the movie. I don't know.
What did he help write?
A lot of grunts.
Explosion here.
Yeah, there were a lot of grunts,
Bigger explosion here.
Yeah.
Make sure that this guy explodes.
Yeah, lots of shooting.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Okay. Explosion.
Yes, there was a lot of explosions in this movie, but they were all real explosions, which was nice.
That's CGI
explosions.
That's true. I'm all about the practical effects.
I think the thing about this movie is it is a relic. I mean, it is truly made by people who were making movies in their prime in the late 80s when
when we say relic, we mean that in a positive way.
Yeah.
Because
I mean,
it's like, it takes you back.
The thing is, I can't even judge this movie based on current action movies because it's so from that time period.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even really compare it to action movies nowadays. You know, the whole time watching this movie, I'm like, wow, Michael Bay is a pretty decent action director. Like, the whole time watching Expendables, all I could think about was how awesome Bad Boys 2 was. And that's weird, because Bad Boys 2 wasn't really all that awesome.
Yeah.
But the action was freaking great in it. And I think, you know, I think the Expendables, really the main thing is to see all these guys together in one movie. I mean, that's what the point is. You know, story be damned, you know, there's people getting their necks broken, people getting shot up, and you know, I'm surprised they even had names for characters, to be perfectly honest. And most of the time, I didn't even realize what their names were. But I think, you know, I think that I thought I enjoyed it. You know, I thought for me the main thing that was really cool was the scene in the church with, you know, there was basically, you know, a meeting of, you know, the owners of Planet Hollywood. You know, it was
or at least former owners.
Yes, exactly. It was Sly and Arnold Schwarzenegger and Bruce Willis, and they're all there together in one scene, as you know, you've all seen in the trailer. And I thought, you know, that was a really nice moment for film history. You know, that was like one of those little, you know, microcosm moments of these guys were all big at the same time. We never did a movie together, really. You know, all there in one scene. I thought, in a way, that is sort of like the nucleus of this movie. Like, that scene right there is sort of what the movie's all about and what it's for and how it's almost like for film history and less for actual, like, movie-going pleasure, though a lot of people did go see it.
Yeah.
Because it made a lot of money. Well, it didn't make a lot. It made a decent amount of money. It made, like, what, $35 million or so? I don't even know what to say, honestly. I thought that it had some really... I mean, it had some really funny
explosions.
Yeah, it had a lot of explosions, a lot of kind of, you know, it was...
You know, it's okay. They drop you into a movie,
yeah,
and you don't need to know the plot.
No.
Because you get it. Because these guys are just the guys they've been playing...
Yeah,
forever. For the last... Yeah, well, like a couple decades.
And that was the weirdest part about it, because you're right. They're the guys they've all been playing, but it's funny because, you know, Sly's directing, so obviously his attention is on directing and acting. But really, it's like... We've seen Sly play so many, you know, Sly is not one of the great actors of all time, but we've seen him play a lot of, you know, not
one... What are you saying, Dave? Of course he's the greatest actor of all time.
We've seen him play a lot of not one-sided characters in his career,
yeah,
and it was kind of weird to see him go back to that for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, to call the character one-sided is almost an understatement.
Yeah, it's almost
like
no-sided. Yeah, it was very strange.
You know what side there was? Explosion!
Explosion side, yeah.
Like, everyone was on the explosion side.
Yeah. I have to say, though, it was great to see Dolph in the bad guy role. You know, Dolph has done a lot of hero roles, but really his bad guy roles is where he shines.
You know?
Rocky IV and Universal Soldier, I mean, those are, like, his two big, awesome movies, and those are really where he shines.
He's a giant, scary man.
He is. I mean, he looks like, he's almost like an ogre. The guy, I thought he should have, like, carried a club around the entire time and just bashed people over the head.
I think he should have been in a Punisher t-shirt.
Yeah, I totally should have, yes. Well, he didn't have a Punisher t-shirt in that movie. He was, as a kid, that was one of my big pet peeves with the Punisher. He did is that he didn't have the skull on his shirt. He was just wearing black.
Although, you know,
how dare they go for gritty realism?
Of the two that I've seen, I like his better.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's good. It actually holds up much better.
Much better than you
now
think
looking
too.
At new ones. Yeah, totally. Especially the last Warzone. Ugh, it was so bad. Anyway, you know, I thought though, you know, what you want to see other than explosions, these guys together, are some of the cool fights. You know, there's a lot of mano-a-mano fights.
Of course, some of them were again shot way too close up, so you can't see what's happening.
I think the one that's the coolest that did have that problem was, you know, Dolph versus Jet Li.
Yes.
I mean, you get two guys who actually have real martial art experience. You know, Dolph Lundgren is like a second, third degree black belt in karate and, you know, actually competed. And Jet Li, of course, was like the wushu champion by the age of, I think, 11.
Yeah.
And so, you know, these guys are actually
martial
artists.
Jason Statham was a diver.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was also, I think, like a criminal on the street. So there you go. But I think the really cool thing was, speaking of that, by the way, Jason Statham had to do, like, all the heavy lifting when it came to acting.
Yeah, yeah. Like, when the best actor, like, of the main movie is Jason Statham, like, I mean, hey, good for him. I mean, he actually, in the movie The Bank Job, he showed that he could just be in a movie where all he does is act.
Yeah, he's okay. You know? I mean, like, he's British, so, you know, he gets away
with more because he's British and that accent just, you know, it just kind of, like, covers over so much.
Everything sounds smarter, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He
totally knows what he's talking about. He's got a British accent.
He's even got, like, a tough street British accent.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, he doesn't sound like Giles or anything from Buffy, yeah. No, it's true, though, but he really did, like, he was really the only character that actually had more than, like, one side, one level. And he did most of the heavy lifting.
And that other level was with super hot Charisma Carpenter.
God, she's still so hot. I mean,
so hot.
Oh, unbelievable. Yeah.
Good for her.
We were really happy. And we also want to ask, you know, who is going to be the next girl from the Whedonverse that shows up in a Sly movie?
Seriously.
So Julie Benz was in Rambo.
The funny thing is that they were trying to, for a role that ended up never happening, they were trying to get Alan Tudyk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Awesome. Totally I love that Charisma Carpenter got the role by, like, showing her scene, last scene from Angel.
Angel, yeah.
That's awesome.
She's fantastic, and she's actually very good. I thought she was really good in this. I thought, you know, same thing with Julie Benz. It was funny that these, you know, Whedon girls actually come off as the best actors in these movies.
Yeah.
You know, because they can actually act, and they're trained actors. They're not guys who went to the gym and became, you know, really popular for being big and, you know, like an action hero.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, too. Obviously, there's no acting going on in this movie.
They're not trying to.
Yeah, Jason Statham, like we said, does the most amount, and then, you know, Mickey Rourke just kind of shows up like a... Like Dame Judi Dench in Shakespeare in Love. He shows up for like 10 minutes and is like sort of the guru.
He's the guru, yeah.
Yeah, who kind of like says some pithy maxim that, you know, someone's like, oh, that's a good point. I should go and fight for this person. And that's pretty much about it. You know, he doesn't really do all that much. But his name is Tool, which in itself is kind of awesome. Yeah, like everyone had like really weird names. Like his name was Tool and Dolph's name was Gunner and Sly's name was Barney Ross. I don't even get that.
Jet Li was Ying Yang.
Jet Li was, yeah. Though my favorite was still with Statham. His name was Lee Christmas.
Yeah.
I got to wonder the whole time why they call him Christmas. But listen, about some of the fun parts of the movie. I liked in the beginning how Dolph blew that guy up.
He goes, warning shot.
Warning shot. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I like how Sly likes to rip things from
the
headlines.
He's going to hang a pirate. No, he's not.
Yeah.
What are you doing, Gunner? Gonna hang a pirate.
Hang a pirate. Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, Sly really likes to, you know, rip from the headlines like Law and Order. You know, like he made the last Rambo in Burma because, you know, asked somebody where's the worst place on earth right now where people getting killed, and it was Burma. And, you know, remember a few years ago all the Somali pirate stuff going on?
Yep.
So it's like, you know, he likes to do that. And so they start off fighting Somali pirates, and, you know, they have a lot of the, like Rambo, they have a lot of the CG violence, a lot of CG blood, decapitations, explosions, and stuff. But I think that's stuff comes off better than CGI explosions.
Yeah.
Though there was quite a lot of CG knife in this movie.
Yeah.
The CG knife was like a character on its own.
Well, it's like the CG knife is one thing, like when it's in that scene in Old Boy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The CG knife is quite another when it's the CG knife in this. Really?
The thing in Old Boy was like it was the knife that like stuck into him.
Yeah,
and,
it was the handle.
His back.
Yeah.
Exactly. But when you start getting the blade, because CG they always try to make it cooler and shinier, and it was just
kind of like Wolverine's blades.
Oh yeah,
in the Wolverine
exactly.
Movie.
Like it just comes off so fake and like lame looking. But okay, so, you know, Dolph blew up a guy, which I thought was really great. There's a really great scene where Jason Statham was like in a nose of a plane and they like blew up a dock. And
they just kept like, you know, shooting people in half, kind of like in. That was one of the things that I loved about the latest Rambo movie is that like they just went for like ridiculous death where nobody died an even like remotely normal death.
Yeah.
You either had your throat ripped out like, you know, MacGruber style or you got shot into multiple pieces or you exploded or you got your throat ripped out and then you got shot into multiple pieces and then you exploded or, you know, any
and
combination
people
thereof.
Also got liquefied by the machine gun, remember? Yeah, don't forget that. Yeah. And that's, you know, that all comes with the CG. You know, that's all, you can do a lot more stuff with CG than when they had to do practical squib stuff. And I think the thing about that Rambo is, you're right, it was all zombie violence.
Yeah.
I mean, it was more zombie violence than like actual real violence.
It's like, that's the thing. Like none of this, like, it's just so ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, but Rambo,
it's a video game. It's not a movie.
Rambo comes off so much more offensive, though, because you remember Rambo?
Oh, yeah.
They showed real footage of stuff going out of Burma.
No, it absolutely comes off way more offensive. I'm just saying, like, it was kind of hilarious that they, like, those deaths were just stupid.
But that's the thing, and you're right. And, you know, when I was getting past, you know, sort of like, I was happy to be with all the guys in there. It was sort of like when they, you know, if it's, you know, like an old TV show you like, and 10 years later they bring all the cast back together and
for
a reunion. It's fun and cool. It's not the same. The magic's gone, but it's still kind of fun. That's kind of what it was like sitting through this movie.
Well, the thing is that what both I was entertained by and annoyed by was all the many times that they would do this kind of self-referential stuff where they would almost be like, you know, a nod, wink, wink to the audience.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Hey, look at us. We're relics. This is a movie that practically should have been from the mid-80s.
Well, I'm glad that, a lot of people were asking, like, you know, why was Van Damme or Seagal not in this, or Chuck Norris, which, you know, Sly tried to get all of them in. You know, I know Van Damme didn't do it because he's making his own movie.
Yeah, most people actually don't realize that, but yeah, that's the actual reason that he wasn't in this movie, because he was actually working on his own movie.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it'll ever come out or if
I know it hasn't come out yet. I think it's called Eagle's Path. I'm not sure when it's going to come out. But also, Steven Seagal didn't do it because apparently some of the producers he didn't get along with.
Yeah.
And so he didn't come in. And also, who knows about Chuck Norris? Maybe he was having a political career moment or something. But either way, it was really, I'm glad they didn't, because, you know, first off, it was already preposterous that these guys were doing this job at their age. I mean, Mickey Rourke made sense that he was retired, but all these guys, you know, Rambo, it's one thing because it's Rambo. You know, he is Rambo. He is amazing. And so he can be the old guy, but everyone else is kind of younger on that team.
Yeah.
But, like, if they had gotten, like, Van Damme and Seagal and Chuck Norris, it would have just been preposterous. It would have been, like, not even the Wild Bunch had that many old dudes in it, really. Yeah. And so it was nice to have
the geriatric bunch.
Exactly. And so it was nice to have Jason Statham and Jet Li there, you know, to at least... And also, you know, Randy Couture, though I gotta say, you know, I have no problem with Randy Couture, you know, it's cool, you know, people like UFC and stuff, but I thought it was really bizarre that they actually spent like the 5 minute scene with him talking about his cauliflower ear.
Yeah.
And maybe that's
you know what they should have done in those five minutes?
What?
Made a story.
Yeah. I mean,
like
it's weird.
Know, I don't need much of a story, but I need more than we're mercenaries and we're doing mercenary things.
Yes. You know,
really?
What makes me very cool and not a dork, by the way, is I did do a little bit of wrestling in high school, and I totally have a tiny bit of cauliflower ear, though nothing compared to what he has. Yes, this makes me a man, just like Randy Couture. You know, I got that.
Okay.
I got the same thing, but not even close to what he has.
Steve Austin was a good bad guy.
Yes,
he's big and scary.
Yeah, Stone Cold Steve Austin. The whole yeah. There was a moment in it that I thought was a little weird. I don't think I'm going to bring up, but I thought that was kind of odd having to know if you know something about Steve Austin's life. But overall, I think you know he's a very scary guy, and I thought he was very good for that, playing Eric Roberts. You know, Eric Roberts' henchman. Let's just say Eric Roberts is awesome.
They should have given him a chance to fight, because nothing will beat him in DOA fighting, like, looking like some douchebag fighting.
Looking like a douchebag with sunglasses on. I think Eric Roberts should win.
Like, and we mean that in the nicest possible way, because we love Eric Roberts so much.
I implore the Academy, really, when he's on his deathbed, please give him an Oscar, because he was nominated for one once, and he just rules. He does every movie, you know, whether it's a big movie like The Dark Knight or a little movie like, you know, the... whatever, number three.
Well, if he doesn't get one, we'll give him a Geekster.
I know, he's got to get it, because he's just awesome. I mean, he's really cool. And, you know, I think his daughter...
And Geek World presents you with the Geekster.
And his daughter, obviously, is going to have a huge career, too.
Yes.
She already's starting to. And, he's just... I mean, he is just, like, dependable as the bad guy. You know, you always know he's going to be bad. And also, they had the guy from who played Angel and Dexter playing the General. General.
Yep.
And I thought, you know, what was really cool for any fans of both UFC and WWE, they did have the fight between Stone Cold Steve Austin and Randy Couture.
Yes.
That was cool. It was a whole, like, fight with a very funny ending. I have to say, though, with all the CG violence, there were times when mostly I was laughing really hard.
Yeah.
Like, there were a few scenes that were so preposterously violent, you couldn't help but laugh. I mean, you couldn't help it.
Because, it's they did it so much because they wanted to put it to that point of ridiculous where it's like,
well, they're trying to push the envelope,
you know?
And, like... Yeah, it's like, isn't this hardcore? Isn't this hardcore?
That's the whole thing, though. It's like, that's the movie.
Yeah.
Look at us, we're hardcore!
I swear, there's a little VO in the background going, Sunday, at the tractor pole. You know, it's just very, like, let's get it as hardcore as possible.
Guns!
I gotta love, I gotta say, nice! I love Terry Crews. Terry Crews, you know, we've been big fans of ever since Idiocracy.
Oh my god, President Camacho, best president ever.
I would say second best president ever, following President Whitmore from Independence Day. It goes him and then Camacho. But yeah, he's so amazing. And I love that his character he really doesn't have much of a character, but he has an automatic shotgun. Like, that was like, remember when he just wastes all
those
dudes?
That was so funny.
Yeah, it was great.
So funny.
Also, my favorite part of the movie is they have this scene where it's literally a 10-minute montage of all the guys running in this castle, like, placing C4, like,
everywhere.
And, like, they'll have a shot of a guy, like, running, putting on one pillar, then the next pillar, then the next pillar. I was like, was there, like, a sale of C4 at the mall or something?
Yes.
C4 does a lot of damage. You don't need to put it on every single little pillar.
And really, they carried all that in their plane?
Yeah.
I guess if you're going to bring some, you might as well bring it all. But
I always assume it's like the Predator rule. You know that scene in Predator where
they shoot at the
jungle for 2 minutes?
They shoot at the jungle, you're like, wait, they're wasting all their bullets shooting at a jungle?
They shoot at the jungle and then they reload and shoot more. Well, you know, Arnold had to make those leaf bombs.
Yeah.
And it was really funny because, like, you know, I felt it was like they just needed to
make a tree
longer.
And leaf bomb.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the movie's 80 minutes. So we got to make it longer. Let's have them, you know, setting C4 for 10 minutes.
Oh, goodness.
But
let's not edit. Let's not take any time for story.
Yeah, no, there's
they
no
need
story.
To put C4 and talk about cauliflower ear.
Which really no one was expecting because
most of
these
movies
didn't have stories. I mean, it's funny
but
because...
But it's like, they bothered to give Jason Statham a character with a little bit of depth, and they bothered to have Jet Li's character say some stuff that led you to believe that his character had more depth, but with no payoff.
Yeah.
There was, like, no payoff on anything.
Well, you know, it's funny, though, because some of these movies did have story, though. I'm looking back and think about, like, Commando was awesome, and...
That's the point.
Running Man was,
like,
awesome.
We weren't expecting story from this, but it doesn't mean that we can't still, like, think that it maybe needs a little more. I'm not saying they needed much more. I'm saying, like, 5 minutes of giving me something a little more rather than, you know, just leaving it at we're mercenaries doing mercenary
things. Well, like you said, they just depended on everyone being familiar with the characters these guys have always played. I mean, even Dolph to a point. I mean, Dolph is still known mostly as an actor who plays villains. Like I said, Rocky IV and Universal Soldier were his two biggest roles. Though he did do a movie where he played a cop with Brandon Lee, Showdown in Little Tokyo. Mm-hmm. So there you go. But with Tia Carrere, by the way, and a hot tub, and that's all I'm going to talk about.
Moon Bloodgood is our
generation. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, I love Moon Bloodgood. She's so fine and so cool, too. She was very pretty at Comic-Con when we saw her for Falling Skies,
too. Yes, she
was. But, yeah, I think, the Expendables, the thing is, there's nothing, a bunch of people want to see it. There's nothing we're going to say that's going to make you deter from going to or not, because you're not expecting a plot. All you're expecting is all these guys from your childhood kicking butt again, and that's what you get. I would say the biggest problem that we had is like we were talking about before, with Scott Pilgrim, the fact that Scott Pilgrim doesn't have this problem, but the cuttiness in the action. And I think that we were both very, I think you and I were both very disappointed with Jet Li, Dolph Lundgren fight.
I mean, the thing is that, like, you know, you got, you like, you know, like you were saying before, two people who do martial arts.
Yeah.
And, like, even Jason Statham, who, you know, he wasn't a martial artist, but when he was in the movie The One with Jet Li, he from that point on, he wanted to know martial arts because, like, he was just kind of so in awe of Jet Li, and he learned it. He learned martial arts, and that's freaking cool.
Yeah,
he does a great job in fight scenes, and it's so disappointing to not be able to see that.
Yeah, well, with the Transporter series that he did, and also Crank, and some of the other stuff he's done, I mean, Jason Statham is really the closest equivalent to these guys. He's a guy who pretty much just does action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he does these big action movies, and really, you know, and that in itself is a relic. You know, we've been talking about a lot now that, you know, there really aren't these guys anymore. What there are now is, like, there's pictures, there's we're making a Spider-Man movie. Tobey Maguire, get bigger. We're making another James Bond. You know, Daniel Craig, get bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
They get real actors and expect them to get bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Expect them to get muscular.
Or they just say, and we'll put you in this suit that will make you look bigger.
Exactly. Or like Billy Zane, he'll show up already jacked, like for the Phantom, so they have to, you know, they give him a new costume. Yes, I remember that.
You know, Jason Statham dated Kelly Brook before Billy Zane.
Yes, I know. By the way, Kelly Brook is in this month's Playboy, so I think...
She will be in Piranha 3D.
Yes.
That's another one that was shot in 3D, right?
I'm pretty sure that's a conversion.
Oh, it's a conversion? Yeah, no! Sure. Oh,
yeah.
Harsh.
I'm pretty sure. I'm not totally sure, but I'm pretty sure it's a conversion, yeah. But I Kelly Brook, oh boy. Yes. Anyway, I thought Billy Zane rules. By the way, I gotta say the Zane rules. I don't know why he wasn't in this movie, but he should have been. He could have played a bad guy too, you know. But I thought overall,
well, like you said, they didn't need any more.
They did not need any more people. But yeah, I would say the Dolph Lundgren Jet Li fight, it was fun. The idea of it was fun.
Yeah,
I thought it was kind of squandered because it was cut so quickly.
Yeah, like, and not only was it cut quickly, like, so many of the shots were from, like, behind a grated, like, gate.
You try to get all artsy and stuff. Yeah,
so that didn't work.
Yeah, Sly really.
And I gotta say, all the close-up shots, like sitting with the camera sitting on these faces that have been way too plastic surgery. Like, I didn't really appreciate that either. Too much for me.
I did not appreciate that. That's why you should write, Mr. Stallone. I did not appreciate all of your ugly, deformed faces that have had a ton of plastic surgery.
I'm just saying.
So close. What's the deal? You guys aren't Marion Cotillard or something.
Exactly.
Chill out.
There was this beautiful, beautiful girl in it. Yeah. You know, actually, there were two beautiful, beautiful women in it.
Yeah.
You know what? Those close-up shots should have been on them.
Yeah, I have to agree. Yeah, I think that's
about... Or Jason Statham.
I think Charisma Carpenter, like, all the shots were far away. Yeah, I know. It's kind of weird. Yeah, I think... It was a little bizarre. It was a little bizarre in that.
Those shots were no Christmas for me.
Well, it was sort of nice. It was sort of the adage of, like, you know, like how those posters used to be back in the day, you know, or just their big faces or, you know,
Giant Ted.
Actually, it was, remember all those posters from back in the day with Arnold and Sly? It was always like them shirtless, you know, all jacked.
Yes.
And, like, that's what those posters were. And, Sly is still, you know, still cut. I mean, unfortunately, we all know, you know, the cat's out of the bag with how he maintains that shape, but, you know, he's pushing. I mean, he's in his 60s now, right? Like mid-60s, I would say. So he's, you know, it's kind of hard to stay in shape like that. And overall, you know, you're going to see it no matter what, whatever we say. If you grew up in that era and if you love these guys. I do have to say, though, the one really, really funny thing for me and my favorite part of the entire movie, like I said, was the church scene with Arnold and with a Sly and Bruce Willis. And Bruce Willis was actually the last person cast for that minor role. And it was just so funny, though, to see. I think Bruce Willis just did it to go, hey, do not count me in with these guys anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, it's I was in action movies in the 80s and everything, and I'm an action star, but, like, I am a real actor.
Yeah. Hey, remember, I started in comedy, and they didn't think I could be an action star, and then as soon as my action movie did well, you all of a sudden said, hey, look, he's an action star and nothing else.
Well, it was sort of weird, and I hate this, because you mentioned, I already mentioned Twilight, and unfortunately, I have to again.
Are you joking?
No, just listen to me for a second. You know when we watched the second one, all of a sudden, they went to Italy, and there was, like,
Real actors.
There was real actors, and you're like, wait, am I watching a real movie? And then, of course, they go away, and you're like, no, I'm not. It was like that. It was like when Bruce Willis did his one scene, I was like, wait, is this a real movie? He's, like, a really good actor. And then he went away, and it all went downhill from there. Yeah. So, you know, I think, I also have to say, I thought, for the most part, Jet Li was very wasted in the movie.
Yes.
That was also a big part that I was not happy about. I thought that he had one, two decent fight scenes, but overall they were not shot well for the fight scenes. And the thing was, you know, it was shot by somebody who was used to shooting, like, gun scenes and action scenes and explosions, which that stuff was there. You know, there was a cool plane scene. There was two car chases. I mean, you know, we can go down the list here. I made a quick list of 80s action movie staples that they achieved in this movie. There was massive gunfights and huge body counts. We had that.
Yep.
Check. Huge explosions. Check.
Nice.
Throwing knives. There's always knives getting thrown in these movies.
Yeah.
So check. Fighting for girls' honor. Check.
Yeah.
And also, there's always that scene where, like, the girls about to get raped by the bad guy.
Yeah.
And they totally save her. They had that. Car chases. There was two car chases in this. Lots of one-liners. I have to say my favorite one.
Yeah, well, that there was no actual, like, you know, dialogue interchange, really. Yeah. It was just people, like, shouting one-liners at one another.
There was...
shouting one-liners down to one another.
A trailer line in this. I don't know if it made it in the trailer, but there was a trailer line with Eric Roberts who was, like, talking to the general, and he's like, how did two obvious professionals get past your security and end up killing 41 of your men with help? That's how. It was like the whole thing was such a trail line. And also, but I would say my favorite, it was Dolph Lundgren when he's fighting Jet Li and he goes, bring it on, Happy Feet.
Yeah.
That was good times. And also, you know, one-on-one fisticuffs. There's a lot of that. So at least they got the staples.
Yeah.
You know?
But actually we should take another quick break.
Yes.
But we'll be back with you in just a moment.
Couple of great geeks, Dave and Anna, the geekiest people you'll ever meet, on 92.5 KYHY, Geek World, Thursdays at noon.
We're back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero, super hosts, anime, mistress of the dark.
Yeah.
And her royal darkness, Dave.
Ah, I still don't like any of these names you're giving me. I don't appreciate them at all.
I am the mistress of the dark, and I can name you whatever I want. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send
us
an email.
At least you have one thing in common with Elvira, which is very special. So, it's okay.
Yes.
It's okay.
Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com.
You're annoying. Oh!
You can... Are you saying Elvira's annoying?
No.
That's just rude.
That is rude. I'm saying you're annoying.
You can check out our website at geekworldradio.com.
Call me a dork.
Well, you are.
Yeah, well, you know.
I'm the mistress of the dork.
Can I be a geek? Is that enough? We're on the show Geek World. Why don't you be a dork, too?
You really can't help it.
Yeah, that's true. I can't help it. That's a good point. So can I be seven again or what?
Yeah.
Yeah, sweet. Okay, so we've been talking about The Expendables. I mean, we talked about movies this week.
We talked about a whole bunch of movies.
Yeah, we talked about Inception and Step Up 3D and Scott Pilgrim vs. the World and The Expendables. Well, I was thinking, you know, there might be a lot
You were thinking?
Yeah, I know. It's the first time for everything. I was thinking that, you know, there might be, you know, some young people out there that may not be familiar with some of the people in The Expendables. You know, maybe... you know, maybe it's just, you know, not part of their generation, you know, and I even think that,
most kids nowadays, it's not part of their generation.
And I would even say, you know, going as far as, you know, Sly. I mean, Sly, you know, came back with his two major characters a few years ago, but other than that, there was a kind of a dry spell. We didn't see him for a long time.
Yeah.
And so what we did is we did a little list of who are these old guys. And these are the guys that, these are, you know, the guys who are in The Expendables and the movies that you should see, like the two movies that they're really good in. So we're leaving Arnold Schwarzenegger and Bruce Willis off this list, because if you don't know who either one of them are, like, you got an issue.
Yeah,
I mean,
seriously.
You know... you know, Arnold hasn't done a movie in a while because he's, you know, he's been governor of the great state of California. But really, like, people know who he is. I mean, Terminator, come on. And also Bruce Willis. It would be just kind of crazy if you didn't know who Bruce Willis was. So let's start off with Sylvester Stallone. If you're not familiar with Sylvester Stallone, you know, that's kind of
that's
the
right,
closest
kids,
to craziness.
If you don't know who Sylvester Stallone is,
you should probably know who he is. But you know, I would say his two, like, best movies, the ones that you should really see, are, you know, Rocky and First Blood.
Yes.
And those are his two great characters.
And if you're wondering what the heck is First Blood, well, it's the actual first Rambo movie.
Yes,
it's not
exactly.
called Rambo, because that's actually, I think, what the latest one is called.
Like the latest one's called Rambo, yeah.
So, wait, okay. So, it's called First Blood. And then the second...
First Blood Part 2.
So none of them are called Rambo?
Rambo 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, it is kind of funny.
But First Blood is so good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Is it called Rambo First Blood Part 2? No, yeah, it's called First Blood Part 2 and Rambo 3. Yeah. You got to see them both. I mean, Rocky is what made him famous. He wrote it, and he's fantastic in it. And also these movies, I mean, if you haven't seen Rocky or First Blood, you've probably seen at least one of these movies.
Yeah.
Because there's five sequels to Rocky, and there's like a bunch of, you know, how many, there's a... four, well, there's three sequels to First Blood. But he does have some geek cred, too. It's not just Rocky and Rambo. He also was in Demolition Man, which is one of my favorite sci-fi movies. I think both of ours, you know?
I think so.
It's him versus Wesley Snipes. They were both cryogenically frozen in the 90s, and it came out in a world that was, you know, post-utopian type of place that was, or rather utopian type of place, and basically he couldn't swear, he can't eat red meat. A very early role for Sandra Bullock. And just a great, great movie. It's really just a freaking great action movie. And those two together fighting against one another is great. By the way, Wesley Snipes was supposed to be in The Expendables, but because of
his little tax issue,
he wasn't able to.
Yeah, he was, this Sly was also, you know, Judge Dredd.
Exactly.
Or geek cred, you know, and or you know, geek failure.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's known as one of the not good comic book adaptations. Luckily, though, it's got stuff like Super Mario Brothers and Doom and also Tank Girl to make it look better. So really, you know, it's not the worst. So, you know, lucky them. So next up, Dolph Lundgren. Now, this one I could see a lot of kids not knowing, because Dolph, you know, he had his kind of prime back in like the late 80s, mid 90s, or I would say early 90s. And so, you know, if you haven't seen Dolph, if you don't know who he is, who's that gigantic blonde guy? He was Ivan Drago in Rocky IV, which is, you know, I would say definitely as a kid growing up in the 80s was like, you know, as a kid it's your favorite of all the Rockies, because you don't really understand how great Rocky is, you know, at that age. I think, you know, he was great as Ivan Drago in Rocky IV, and also he's just fantastic as the bad guy in Universal Soldier, which is another one of the best Jean-Claude Van Damme movies, who I was very lucky to work with, by the way, at one point. Van Damme is like really, really cool, really awesome guy, and it's really cool to work with him. And also he punched me, but in an awesome way, not in a violent way. Yeah, exactly.
In a from that point on, Dave didn't want to wash that shirt and
way. Yes, I didn't. I really tried not to wash it, and anime said you're gonna have to throw it away. So I guess I did it. But epilogue to that story is after he punched me in that shirt, I decided that the shirt has, you know, powers.
Well,
now.
It does.
So when we went ziplining in Alaska, I wore that to protect me, because I was sure I was gonna die. But clearly,
and it's the only
I'm
reason
not.
You didn't.
Yes. So or I'm some sort of reanimated zombie, which also kind of be cool in its own way. Dolph. If you haven't,
true.
You know, along with Rocky IV and Universal Soldier, he gets total geek cred for being the Punisher. He was the first person to ever play the Punisher in a movie.
Yeah.
And like we said, looking back, it's actually not too bad considering the other Punishers. So, you know, Dolph is actually like one of these super smart guys, too. He had like all these degrees, he got a scholarship to MIT, and it's crazy. Next up. We're going to say Jason Statham. I think people know who Jason Statham is. You know, if they haven't seen Death Race or.
Hold on.
What?
Oh, wait, no, never mind.
You're such a loser. What was that all about? Were you going to tell me what you're... Is it was just never mind?
Eric Roberts was in a few episodes of The L Word.
Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah, Eric Roberts
I didn't
rules.
Remember that. Yeah, that's just it. Another reason Eric Roberts rules.
Yeah,
you know,
Eric Roberts
lesbians.
Is best. Yes, exactly.
I'm in lesbian with you.
Oh, my gosh. I just have to say, The Real L Word is my favorite reality TV show of all time. And I have to say, I don't even... The character Whitney, after this last episode we saw, which actually a few back if you've been keeping up, I would have to say she is... I've never even considered making a list of my favorite reality show people until I saw her.
We don't really watch reality shows.
She is,
for the most part.
She's my favorite. I mean, she's just the coolest person ever. And totally just a pimp, like a total pimp. But not in an actual pimp kind of way. In an elfy kind of way, not in a Anyway, not in a Dolomite kind of way. So next up, let's talk about Jason Statham. I think most people know who Jason Statham is, but we'll go into him anyway. You know, obviously he's known for the Transporter series, and also I thought he did a really good job in The Bank Job. Which is a British film that he actually had to act in. I mean, he didn't really do much fighting in that. And he was very, very
good.
He didn't
really do any fighting, I don't think.
So there's like a fisticuffs like at the end. Oh. Really, very little.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
I love when you say fisticuffs.
Yeah, it's such a cool word. I love the word fisticuffs. You know, it just works out. You can also say melee, but really, I always think of melee now as just like a function on a controller. But he, of course, he gets geek cred because, you know, he's fought Jet Li in at least two movies. So, you know, that itself totally rules.
Yeah.
Like The One and of course,
War.
Which I would not recommend seeing. Yeah. So I think that was one of those we stopped, like, in the first 10 minutes, and then we finally, like, suffered through it. It was really bad. Next up is Jet Li. Now, you should know who Jet Li is, but just in case you don't, the two movies you should see that he's done, the first one is probably my favorite kung fu movie, or at least which way up there, Fist of Legend, which is a great Hong Kong kung fu movie he made. And what's great about Fist of Legend is it was sort of their response to all the wire work that had been so prevalent up at that point, because there's almost no wire work in Fist of Legend. I think there's maybe one or two shots that have wire work, but overall it's all real. It's all what real people could do, except for, you know, stuff like when he broke the rock with his fist and stuff like that. You know, there is still that sort of, you know, mystical element to all kung fu movies.
Well, that's just Jet Li.
Yes, exactly.
He's just mystical.
He's just that awesome. He totally is. But also Hero is really great. You know, Hero came out a few years ago, and it's got he got to fight Donnie Yen.
I love
Maggie
Donnie
Chun
Yen
and Donnie. And Tony Leung, and it's just a great movie.
I love them all.
Yeah, it's totally awesome movie and totally worth seeing if you haven't seen it. But,
and like we said, he's one of those guys that's super awesome because, you know, he was a martial artist first. He was a champion martial artist as a child.
He won 5 gold medals in wushu, also he was basically the wushu champion of China at the age of 11.
That's so cool.
That's kind of cool. I think I was like, I think I stopped eating my boogers by 11, but that was probably about it. I never eat boogers. It was just a joke. Was that a good joke? Was it funny? I didn't hear you laugh. Were you laughing on the inside?
Sure.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah. Well, that's enough for me. I'm going to move on. But he also gets geek cred for, you know, Forbidden Kingdom. Because, you know, he totally fights Jackie Chan in it, which, by the way, was actually a pretty well choreographed and shot fight scene.
They wanted to make sure everyone saw that they were fighting.
Exactly. And also, you know, though it wasn't an actual...
And by the way, that also has Michael Angarano, who we love from Sky High.
Yes.
Yeah, Sky High.
Sky High is totally awesome. But also, he played a superhero in the movie Black Mask. Now, I'm not sure if that started off as a manga. I don't think so. I think it was just an original one, but it might have been a manga. I'm not sure. By the way, though, I did fall asleep when I saw that movie in the theaters. However, it was like a midnight screening, and I had been working all day, so that's why. So there you go.
Okay.
So it wasn't that the movie was bad. It was actually kind of cool. Next up is Mickey Rourke. I mean, he's had a resurgence, and so I think a lot of people probably know who he is because of Iron Man 2, but, you know...
Yeah, well, or because of, you know, The Wrestler.
Yes.
Wasn't he nominated for...
Yes, Academy Awards. So you probably know who he is, but at the same time, really, he
did
was...
Did he win?
No.
Okay.
I don't think he won.
You're probably right.
No, I don't think he did. I think he... Did he win?
I have no idea.
No, he didn't.
I feel like we should know this.
No, he didn't, because there would have been some weird, like, you know, speech about his dog and stuff like that.
Wait,
no,
wasn't there?
He didn't win. Did he win?
I don't know.
Why don't you look
Maybe
it up?
Maybe I'm just thinking,
I'm pretty sure he didn't win.
He was nominated.
He didn't win, yeah. I can't remember who won, but it wasn't him. But you should see The Wrestler, and also I think my favorite role of him for all time was the role of Marv in Sin City.
Yes, which gives him geek cred.
Exactly, huge geek cred. And, you know, not only was that a really one of my favorite Robert Rodriguez movies, if not my favorite, but I think that one of the best adaptations of a comic book, you know, Frank Miller's Sin City, great comic book and great adaptation. Bruce Willis is also in that too. That's another one that has like a bunch of people. And he's just great as Marv. I cannot imagine anyone else playing that character.
He'd be perfect.
He was almost born to play the role. Yeah.
He wasn't exactly born to play it.
He was already alive by the time it was written.
I was gonna say, you know, he ended up being perfect to play it because
he messed himself up and his face.
Yeah, because he decided it would be a really good idea to go actually fight.
He actually quit acting for a few years to be a professional boxer,
and that did not work out well for his face.
But I think he wanted that.
I think you're right.
I think he was sick and tired of being this pretty guy. I think he really didn't want to be anymore, and he succeeded. I can see that. He succeeded.
And he became Marv. And
yes,
then
exactly.
He was awesome.
So, you know, his geek cred extends to, you know, Sin City and, of course, Iron Man 2. But also, I'd like to bring up a little movie called Double Team with Jean-Claude Van Damme and Dennis Rodman. Back when they tried to make Dennis Rodman a movie star.
Woo-hoo!
And, Mickey Rourke played the bad guy in that. He was the villain. So, it was very cool. Okay, so next up is Terry Crews. And now, this is another guy who...
Let me just say that Terry Crews, his character's name is Hail Caesar.
Hail Caesar, yeah.
Hail Caesar.
Yeah.
That's his name.
Yeah. Well, I would say, you know, most people probably know him from Everybody Hates Chris. You know, he plays a father in that,
yes.
And that sort of was his breakout role. And I would say that if you're going to see any role with him, I mean, really, it's Idiocracy for us. He plays President
Camacho
in Idiocracy, and he's just unbelievable. He's so funny.
Oh, my God. That movie is one of the, like, most underrated
yes.
movies, like, ever.
It's
freaking hilarious, and he is... one of the best presidents ever in entertainment history.
I totally agree. He is a very underrated comedy.
Oh my God, President Camacho! Like, I mean, he's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know what I'd say Mike Judge's best movie is, because Office Space was really good, but Idiocracy I consider his funniest movie by far. I mean, I just think it's unbelievable, and it's a great one from him. But also, you know, what's really cool about Terry Crews is the fact that he actually spent 6 years in the NFL. Isn't that awesome?
But, Dave, even more important, President Dwayne Elizondo Mountain Dew Herbert Camacho. But no.
Everybody's all. What was it?
I don't think we can say most
really
of the words
say most
on
of it.
So
let's
not quote
going
that.
He was like a World Wrestling Federation type guy who became president. That was sort of
that was the thing of it. But again, you know, he's one of these awesome guys that you know, didn't start out in acting, started out in, you know, in sports, started out as an athlete, you know, and ended up in acting, and I love him. I love him in comedy.
Yeah.
And, you know,
he's great.
He makes you laugh because he's this big guy with this amazing smile and laugh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, you just can't help but smile with him.
I agree. And, you know, I also thought, you know, whatever you think about the, what is it called? The Get Smart remake there or whatever.
Yeah.
With Steve Carell. I thought he was actually pretty funny.
Yeah,
in the part
he was.
He played for the Rams, the Chargers, the Redskins, and the Eagles.
No
crazy?
Way. That's
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah, 6 years. But he also has a little bit of geek cred here. He was in that movie Gamer. Whoever
doesn't
feel about it. It was about video games, and Gerard Butler was in it. And he was also in, I almost hate to say this because I hate to put this in the geek sphere, but it is, Terminator Salvation.
Yeah, well.
So, but hey, you know, it's not his fault the movie
we
was
We like
that.
To forget that even exists.
Yes.
But you know.
Yes, Mick G, how dare you. Okay, last but by no means least, the villain Eric Roberts,
who is just awesome.
Oh boy, Eric Roberts. You know, I gotta say, one of the things that people forget about Eric Roberts is he was nominated for an Oscar.
Yes,
in very early
not
his career.
Recently, but
no,
you know,
in 1985 for the movie Runaway Train, he was nominated. For me as a kid, I knew him from Best of the Best.
Mm-hmm.
From 1 and 2, I believe he might have been in 3 too, but he was definitely 1 and 2. And so I would say, you know, if you're only sort of familiar with Eric Roberts, definitely see The Best of the Best. And then, of course, the thing that, you know, he was also great in, which also gives him, you know, tremendous geek cred, was Dark Knight.
Yes.
You know, one of the cool things about Christopher Nolan is, you know, he likes to put people in his movies that have been away from movies for a long time. You know, I think that he put, you know, like you said, he put Eric Roberts and also Michael J. White, he put them in pretty decent roles in The Dark Knight. But also, he put Tom Berenger in a role in Inception, which is really cool because we haven't seen Tom Berenger in a really long time.
Well, you know, it's really funny. If you actually look at Eric Roberts' filmography, he really hasn't stopped working like ever.
No, he's been working forever.
But it's like he hadn't really been really big in a while.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like,
well,
Nolan kind of brought him back into prominence in a
while. Yeah, yeah, well, very much. Well, yeah, and to go along with his geek cred, he was on Heroes for a little bit back when Heroes was good, and also a little movie that is definitely one of our guilty pleasures, DOA.
Yes.
Dead or Alive, based on the video game, it's all about boobies jiggling.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is actually what it's all about, when I think about it. You know, though apparently, you know what's funny about DOA? I never really got into it. It had a lot of throws and stuff I wasn't really into, but DOA was sort of like the game that guys treated like Playboy. You know how guys, when they're like, oh, girls are like, why do you look at that? Oh, it's for the articles. Yeah, DOA was always like, oh, because the fighting engine's so good.
Hey, you know.
I don't think it was that good. I really don't.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah. Well,
it was really, it was...
The DOA is all about the boob jiggle.
It was all about it, yeah.
I mean, they figured out the physics of boob jiggle. But, you know, there's something else that gives Eric Roberts some geek cred.
What's that?
He was in a Doctor Who thing.
Oh, really?
As the
Master. Yeah, he played the Master. You're right. In that Doctor Who movie, I think,
mm-hmm,
right? The one that was the Eighth Doctor.
It's got
right?
Sylvester McCoy and Paul McGann.
Both
as the Doctor.
Yeah, yep. That was a new Doctor, Paul McGann. Yeah, totally. That was the one that they did in between the original series and the reboot.
Mm-hmm.
Came out. Yeah, you're right. He did play the Master in that.
So
I forgot about that.
A little more geek cred.
Yes, I totally forgot about that.
Not that he needed it, because he just
Thanks for doing that. You know, I remember when we did our Doctor Who show research, I had found that out, and I totally forgot about it. So good call on that. Very good call. But yeah, I think overall The Expendables was, you know, just, it was kind of fun. So I would check it out if you're into that.
If you loved these guys as a kid,
yeah,
get ready to feel like you're a kid again, but don't go in with any higher expectations than you would have when you were 7 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like if you go in like that, then you'll have a great time, because you'll just be like, woo!
Yeah. And I think people expect that, but I don't see it having the same, you know, I'm
I don't think it's
going to
have
in the foot, but I think there's going to be a bit of a drop off next weekend.
You know, I
can't see people repeat viewing this.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we had to say it. Yeah, exactly. In unison, it really is.
well, that shows we mean it.
Yes, exactly. So I don't know.
We got another 10 minutes.
Okay.
So
you want to talk a little about Dragon Ball Kai?
Let's take a little bit of time there.
So I have my best friend back home, Eric, who's a really, really great friend of mine. You know, he got me into Dragon Ball Z a long time ago. If you listen to the show, you know the Dragon Ball Saga is, you know, from Dragon Ball 3. Mm-hmm. Dragon Ball Z is my favorite TV show.
And
of
it's
all time.
It's just one of our favorite. Yeah.
Exactly.
Favorite things in general.
And I think that, you know, he told me about Dragon Ball Kai that was playing after Avatar The Last Airbender at Nickelodeon. And so, you know, I hadn't seen it, but he was telling me the horror stories of how much it's been edited and how they've just
and
cut
how they
a lot
changed
of stuff
things
out.
And
all the changes and stuff. And we were lucky or unlucky enough to have seen the first episode that just premiered on, like, the CW for Kids or whatever.
Yes.
And, wow, they definitely changed a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's kind of weird. Like it's funny because, you know, I'm from an editing background, and so I understand, you know, changing, doing stories in a different way and from a different perspective. But boy, howdy, they have really, outdone themselves in a very strange way. I mean, you start off with, this, you know, Dragon Ball Z Kai with footage and stuff revealed that you don't find out until the, like, fourth saga in Dragon Ball Z, or the second season, however you want to put it. With, you know, they start off with him, you know, as Kakarot on planet Vegeta, and his father Bardock fighting Frieza, and Frieza destroying the planet Vegeta. Stuff that is, like, a huge reveal during the Frieza fight, you know.
And it makes it, like, way less intense by revealing it now, and they do it in a way that you don't understand what's going on, because you haven't really gotten any lead up to that. You don't understand anything about, like, any of this stuff, and so they make it they make sure to just confuse you, but also give things away.
And so they're really even pushing the envelope on the whole Superman thing, you know, which is you know, Goku's very much like Superman. That well, in Dragon Ball Z, it's so funny though, because I really wish we could show a way. We've been watching a lot of Dragon Ball now. I really wish, you know, you could. Someday someone could be able to watch Dragon Ball all the way through, you know, like Japanese people, you know, did, who were fans back then, and then get to Dragon Ball Z and find out Goku's an alien.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, can you imagine? It's like, whoa, you know, it's like, obviously, you know, there's something about him. He's so powerful. He has a tail. You know, there's something otherworldly about him, but just like, that must have been such a cool moment for people who were fans. And I think one of the funny things is they have a new title sequence, which is, you know, has a new brand new song. And
that's actually kind of entertaining, only because it's very much more in the spirit of the actual Japanese music.
Yeah.
The lyrics to the song, where it's like, it's very much in the same spirit as that, rather than, you know, the more Americanized version, which is always kind of weird.
Yes, I totally agree.
And so I kind of appreciate that, but it's still weird.
It's totally weird, yeah. And they also have, like, new animation for that. But I think, you know, the biggest...
That seems like they just stole it from some of the video games.
Yes. And then after they show Goku getting shot onto Earth, they literally compress all five seasons of Dragon Ball into a 1-minute montage.
Mm-hmm.
Just to let you know all this stuff. And then he grew up, and then he left home, and then he, you know, then he fought Piccolo, and like, yeah. It was like, whole thing's like, oh my god, it's like information overload. It's like, you know, Lilu and the Fifth Element, you know, just going through all the things really quickly and finding out the Earth's history and, you know, languages, because it was just, it was kind of crazy just sitting and watching the whole thing put in a nutshell like that. I think the main thing is, you know, one, because it's for kids, they have cut a lot of the action out. I don't expect there to be a lot of blood and violence. You know, there wasn't even a lot of that in the Cartoon Network when I was watching it.
No.
But they do cut a bunch of the action out. But really, one of the main transgressions we hate is that they did change some of the voice actors.
Yeah.
To much worse voice actors.
Yeah, and it might be the same person doing both, but both Bulma and Gohan, little kid Gohan, are changed. And Gohan is one of my favorite characters. And, you know, they've changed.
I would say Gohan is your favorite character.
Yeah, Gohan is my favorite character. And they the voice just annoys me.
It's so annoying.
Much
I know.
Now.
You're sitting here like, how could they make me hate my favorite character?
Yeah, it even made me say right now, one of my favorite characters. No, Gohan is by far my favorite
character. That's what they've done. That's what they've done.
I love Gohan, and they made it so that, like, I have trouble remembering that I love Gohan. It's just like, it's the worst thing for me ever. Because
I agree.
Yeah, like, the thing is that the character of Gohan starts off, like, kind of whiny, because that's the point. He's a whiny kid that's been kind of, like, you know, coddled throughout his life.
He's four, right?
Yeah, coddled for his 4 years of life, and all of a sudden he's got this such a horrifically bratty voice.
Yeah, I don't know why they changed it either. I think they wanted to make him seem younger than the person who does the voice originally. Who, you know. I think the voice is fine.
It
still sounds
great.
Like a young kid, but I don't know what the plan was. It might have been a contractual thing. It might have been a money thing. I don't know. But the Bulma thing really bothered me, too, because, like, oh, the girl who does the voice is so bad on Dragon Ball Kai. And also, it's like, Bulma's annoying enough. Like, what's funny about Bulma is that she's, like, probably the smartest person on Earth, but she's super annoying and super fickle. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, but that's the way the character is, and that's what's funny about her. But then to have a voice that really emulates that even, like, more so, it's just too much. I mean, it's like the voice as is already like on the level, but it's like they just make her hateable.
Mm-hmm.
Like you hate her now. Like you can't even respect the fact she's brilliant.
Yeah,
and it's just it's really truly bad. And I gotta say, this has nothing to do with Dragon Ball Kai. This is that CW for kids thing. But that Toonzai guy has got to go.
Yeah,
the guy on the surfboard going through the like right in the middle of the show. I mean, really? Like I get that this is for kids and maybe it's to keep their attention or something. But seriously, there's a guy runs through as people are having dialogue going,
I think he surfs.
Yeah, he surfs right by. Oh, man. That is so freaking annoying.
Yeah.
I can't handle it. But, yeah, I think overall... Now, let me talk about how I really feel about this, though. I think that overall, it's disappointing to see, you know, the voice, the changes in story. All that stuff is very disappointing. Apparently, they condense, like, all of Goku, like, on Snake Way to, like, one or two episodes, according to my friend. You know, we haven't seen that far. But I have to say, to play devil's advocate, this is one of my favorite shows, and Dragon Ball Z, they stopped making them in 1995, even though it didn't really get to America until like the late 90s, mid to late 90s. And so because of that, I am sort of glad that there's a resurgence of it, and I'm glad that there's a lot of young kids now who get to experience it like I did.
Mm-hmm.
And though it is sort of a neutered version of it, really, you know, I remember when I told somebody in college who was a big anime freak, you know, that I love Dragon Ball Z, you know, they said, Dragon Ball Z plus Cartoon Network equals lobotomy, you know, and I also think this person was mad because I was, you know, almost got with their girl, but that's not the point. The point is, and I did, but the point is that, you know, already it was sort of, you know, it was sort of in its own way emasculated, you know, from the original Japanese version. So, you know, that's sort of like, it's sort of like when people get upset, you know, that there's a new Doctor all the time, you know, Doctor Who. It's like, that's just the way it is. And so, you know, yes, I am upset about it, but at the same time, I think that in the end, I'm just glad there's a whole new generation of kids. And on top of that, I'm also glad they're now coming out with more and more Dragon Ball products, like toys and stuff, too, because, you know, I love me some Dragon Ball, you know, toys and stuff. So I think at the end of the day, I'd rather there be a Dragon Ball Kai than not, especially when I think, you know, all you people are so upset about it, so indignant and how like that you've been wronged and your childhood's been destroyed. It could have been worse, guys. They could have remade it. It could have been like a crappy American remake of Dragon Ball. I mean, you know, Warner Brothers, I know, owns the movie rights. Who knows? I mean, it's always possible. So I think, you know, we didn't get that. And at the same time, instead of being upset about it, if you talk to a kid about Dragon Ball Kai, you know, you can clue them into there is a, you know, the actual real version. And then they can go and see that at some point when they get a little older. So I think overall, it's not such a bad thing. But at the same time, it does hurt a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah. So anyway, what's going on now? Are we done? Do you still have a few minutes left?
We've still got a couple of minutes, like just a few.
Just a few minutes.
All right. Very few.
Well, I'd like to say we got caught up. We're not caught up, I should say, because we won't be, but we got to see like the first three episodes of Jersey Shore, and I know this isn't geek-tacular, but oh my god, I love the show so much.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, Ronnie is like knocking it out of the park this year. That dude is so bad. He's like bad in both a good and a bad way.
Yeah, seriously.
He's actually, both meanings of the word bad apply to him right now. It's so funny, though. But it's really funny because, you know, when you're a young kid like that, and like that's life. Like, you make stupid decisions. You do dumb things. Problem is, when you're put in this little microcosm and everyone, like, watches you and everyone judges you, it's sort of like, you know, it comes off much worse. And, you know, stuff he's doing isn't good, but at the same time, it's like, you know, you got to remember when you're in your early 20s and drinking all the time and first falling in love, you make bad decisions. That's sort of life. So kids, don't drink and don't fall in love, because you'll make bad decisions.
Don't fall in love with the Jersey Shore.
Exactly. You never fall in love with the Jersey Shore. Exactly. And I love the irony of him getting the praying tattoo.
Oh my god.
Like, that's the best. It's like, I love it. I love
If you haven't heard our Shorio Brothers.
Shorio Brothers, yes.
Exactly. It's on the website. Check it out, geekworldradio.com. And by the way, we are still working on this Comic-Con pictures and Anabash pictures.
Yes.
And we keep on getting more and more stuff up. Just keep on checking back to the website, because we will definitely have more.
Yeah, sorry about that. All you people waiting for those, but there's only two of us.
Have to wait a little longer.
There's a lot of it.
But
a little bit. I can't see any more
than
that.
No, you shouldn't.
Yes.
Yeah. But actually, that's really all the time that we have for this episode of Geek World. Don't forget to tune in next week, same time, same place. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com. And follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio. I am Anime, Mistress of the Dork, and that is over there, Dave, where you can't see me pointing. He is my dorkness, Dave.
The dork.
So,
wait, can I come up with something better, like Captain Dork?
Captain Dork, that's right.
Dork. No, wait. Nah, I don't know.
Captain Dork.
Yeah. I'm going to come up with some cool, and you're going to be all like, oh, I can't believe it. I'm gonna be,
so tune in next week, same time, same place.
Dork is Maximus.